good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this third day of September. And Bing Verbist in with us this morning.
Right.
Good morning, Bing. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Glad to be here. Real foggy morning coming up today.
Boy, I tell you, it was rough this morning coming in. I run into a lot of fog.
you probably more so than me, but it's starting to clear.
Good.
It's a beautiful morning. You could see, on the horizon, the sun was not yet up when I was driving in, but it was getting clear. And I love that drive. I probably mentioned it every program, before every program, but I do love that drive.
Oh, yes.
It's especially when I can get, off the interstate and get into the Elkton and Pembroke, Kentucky area.
Oh, yeah. Just beautiful views. And, and I'm sure with you coming in, of course, the sun's coming up and it's looking all pretty, the beautiful colors most of the time and everything. But, yeah, if you're driving this morning, please be careful because I know, like I said earlier this morning when I was coming in, there were several patches coming in and I had to slow way down.
You couldn't see too far ahead.
Yeah. It was pretty rough, but it's good to have you with us this morning. And and what we're going to pick up from last week, I guess?
We'll pick up from where we left off last week. We were talking about Zacharias, and he was the priest who was burning incense in the temple, he is going to be alerted, and he was alerted, we saw that, by the angel Gabriel, that his prayer's been answered. And we figured out by reading Scripture what that prayer was, and he was praying for a son. Even though he was an old man and his wife was a very old woman, the angel said, your prayer's been heard, and you will have a son, and you will name him John.
Amen.
Yeah, and so we'll pick up there. Because we started in Matthew 2 weeks ago, read the genealogies of Jesus in Matthew. And there was a verse that we came to after the genealogies that said the birth of Jesus Christ is on this wise. He was going to tell us about the birth. But before we get there, we're kind of looking at things that happened before the birth of Jesus Christ, and that's where we'll pick up today.
Hello friends, Eric Horner here to tell you about Operation Tankful of Love 2025. Once again, we'll be meeting our soldiers from Fort Campbell at the gas pumps to offer them the gift of some free gas and the love of Christ. Now, it all happens on Saturday, September 13th at the Pilot Truck Stop on Fort Campbell Boulevard. Operation Tankful of Love is open to all active military as well as the spouses of those who are deployed. Now, we'd love for you to join us in blessing our heroes at Fort Campbell. If you'd like to make a donation or volunteer, you can go to www.tankfulloflove.com. That's tankfulloflove.com or call our toll-free number, 877-968-3742. That's 877-968-3742.
And on the wings of eagles, freedom flies. The light shines brightly in your eyes.
And welcome back to the front porch on your community station, Missionary Radio. And Bing Verbist in with us this morning.
Yes, he's here. We are going to pick up, and as I said before the break, we're going to look at events that happened before Jesus' birth. And really, we're looking at events right now that happened before his predecessor, his cousin, John the Baptist's birth.
Okay.
And normally you hear this during the Christmas season, but we're going to take a look at it today, leading us up to the birth of Jesus Christ, as we'll pick up in Matthew when we're finished here. So we're going to start off with Luke 1 and verse 21. And this is where, this is after Zacharias questioned the angel about the news, the good news that Gabriel gave him. And this is after he was struck dumb for asking that question. The people outside in the courtyard were waiting for Zacharias. And that, and Luke 21 tells us, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. What's taking him? Normally the priest is out. And he's given us the blessing so we can leave. And when he came out, the verse continues, he could not speak unto them, which means he could not bless them and dismiss them. Mm-hmm. And they perceived, now these were no dumb people, because they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. How did they perceive that? Well, he was using his arms and his hands, and he was beckoning unto them and remained speechless. He was trying to convey a message,
yeah,
but he couldn't speak.
Couldn't speak, yeah.
It came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, and like I said, there are courses that serve in the temple week, and then another course will come in the next week. Mm-hmm. And so within that week's course, his dumbness, he served with his dumbness. So he didn't quit, and he returned home to Elizabeth because of it. But when he finished his course, the verse tells us, he departed to his own house. Mm-hmm. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth, what do you suppose she did? She conceived, mm-hmm, and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men. Elizabeth, we see, hid herself 5 months,
okay,
until she had the fullest proof of God's miraculous work. And only when she was definitely showing proof of the child within her womb did she appear in public and announce the good news to her friends and her neighbors. And in verse 26 of Luke 1, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. And then he goes on to say, blessed art thou among women. Now, side note, this is something I always like to point out here. 30 plus years later, after Jesus was a man, mm-hmm, this was when he was between 30 and 33 years old, a woman came up to him in a crowd and said this in Luke 11:27. She says, blessed is the womb that bare thee. That's speaking of Mary's womb. She probably didn't know who Mary was, but mm-hmm, that was speaking of Mary's womb. And the paps which thou hast sucked. And that's speaking of Mary's breast. And then Jesus said this, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So Jesus said, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it, more so than my mother who bare me.
Yes.
In other words, those that hear the word of God and keep it are as blessed as Jesus' mother Mary. Only men throughout the ages have placed Mary, the mother of Jesus, on a higher level than other people, other Christians. Jesus, mm-hmm, the Son of God, did not. He said, yeah, you are equally as blessed. Now, Mary was and is equal with all other men and women ever born upon this earth. We know that. And then in Luke 1:29, we learned, and when Mary saw the angel, she was troubled at his saying, and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. So she was disturbed, just like when Zacharias saw the angel Gabriel in the temple. He was a little disturbed. And the angel said unto her, two words, fear not.
Fear not.
Same,
yeah,
same that he said to Zacharias, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now, Jesus, what we found out, was the seventh of seven men, mm-hmm, who were named before their birth. And seven is a very biblical number of,
yes,
completion and perfectness. Yes. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then in Luke 1:34, we're told, then Mary said to the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, we're going to find out this was a question requesting information only from the angel Gabriel, not in unbelief as in the case of Zacharias. She was simply asking, how can a virgin, which I am, bear a child who has never been with a man? Mm-hmm. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. holy thing, the angel called him, because this was something that is not naturally done.
Oh,
this,
no.
This is a different birth right here. Yep. It's a different creature that you are about to bear, Mary. Mm-hmm. So the seed of the woman, as we look back in Genesis, not the seed of man that has been promised ever since, I think it was Genesis 3, could only be referring to the coming of the promised Messiah. Mary's conception, because she was a virgin, was the fulfillment of that promise made by God.
Mm-hmm.
The seed of the woman, never mixed with the seed of any man, but fertilized by the seed of God himself, is what gave birth to our Savior,
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So Mary never once asked for a sign when the angel told her what was going to happen. She didn't ask for a sign. She just had some. She just needed to know something.
Uh-huh.
How's this going to take place? But, and maybe because of this, a sign was given to Mary. The angel Gabriel gave her a sign. What was a sign? Well, we can find that out in Luke 1:37, because the angel tells Gabriel this, "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is a sixth month with her, who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible."
Impossible, yeah.
"And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Mary believed all that the angel told her. We see that. And then the angel departed from her. So, as soon as Mary heard the news about her elder cousin Elizabeth's pregnancy from the angel, she went to see Elizabeth. She was going to witness this for herself, this sign of this miraculous pregnancy and the birth of a son that she was told would come, and to celebrate with Elizabeth and share it in her long-awaited joy. She knew Elizabeth was going to be so joyful at this, because she had been called barren for all these years. And that's really not a good thing to be called as a woman in Israel. You wanted to be fertile. You wanted to bury your husband, especially a son, to continue the genealogy.
Sure.
Now, in Luke, verse 39 of Luke 1, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judea and entered into the house of Zacharias," okay, "and saluted," or that's another King James way of saying, or greeted Elizabeth. "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb." And Elizabeth, as a result of her babe's reaction, was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, whatever she says now is being spoken by her lips, but with the revelation of the Holy Ghost. She started to speak about things she couldn't possibly have known on her own, but the Holy Ghost in an instant revealed them unto her. Verse 42 adds, "And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women." That's a pretty big blessing for
a
niece. And she, in her natural state, wouldn't know anything why she was blessed. And then she said, "Blessed is the fruit of thy womb." So Elizabeth knew Mary was pregnant before Mary ever said a word. "And whence is this to me that the mother," and this is something else she knew, "and whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" So Elizabeth also knew, before she was told, that Mary was carrying the Messiah. That's a pretty big, that is a pretty big revelation that the Holy Spirit gave her.
Yeah. Yes.
How did she know this? Well, verse 44 tells us, "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy." Now, what did Elizabeth know about the baby within her own womb? Well, she knew that the baby would be the babe that was going to one day, when he grew older, herald the Messiah's coming. He was going to broadcast that to the nation of Israel. Therefore, what did Elizabeth know about the baby within Mary's womb? Well, she knew that within Mary's womb was the Messiah.
Amen. That's,
that is so beautiful. That's such a beautiful story of these two women. And in Luke 1:45, Elizabeth is still speaking to Mary, and "Blessed is she that believed," In other words, blessed are you, Mary, for believing all the angel of the Lord told you concerning your child, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told to you from the Lord. And this tells us, John the Baptist, not a conglomeration of cells and tissue, Brian, who was 6 months in his mother's womb, leaped for joy when Jesus, not fetal tissue, showed up, who was conceived in Mary's womb maybe just weeks and days before. And I'll leave you with that thought before we pick up in Luke 1:46 when we get back.
All right, let's get into our pen from the heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Hopkinsville, "I've really enjoyed Missionary Radio night and day. Keep spreading the word. God bless." From Katie's, "Missionary Radio and all your staff over the years have been such a blessing to me. Keep sowing the seed. Keep shining the light. God bless you." From Clarksville, "I love you all and TWR too. You all have been a blessing to me." And from Lewisburg, "May God continue to bless."
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
To exalt King Jesus, Missionary Radio.
Of course, you are listening to The Front Porch. I'd like to, of course, mention real quick, if you want to go back and listen to some past programs of The Front Porch, you can do so by our website, missionary.radio. Mm-hmm. Go to podcast and click on that. And then you'll have a rocking chair pop up. And then, of course, you can also listen to past programs of Ministry Spotlight as well. So
go
check that out.
You'll see a rocking chair, but Brian won't be in it, and I won't
be
in it.
I will not be in it.
But that just tells you got to the front porch.
That's
it.
And
then you scroll down, and you can pick out the date you want to listen to.
There you go. Yes, there you go.
Yeah. So we were talking about this baby within mm-hmm. Elizabeth's womb. 6 months there already, leapt for joy when Jesus, who was probably just days or weeks before conceived by the Holy Ghost within Mary's womb. These are not fetal tissue. This is not a conglomeration of cells. This mm-hmm. is babies. This is these are men who God has a plan for,
yes.
just like He has a plan for every
yes.
person who is conceived
yes.
within the womb. The time of conception may be an interruption, it may be a mistake, there may be all kinds of details that lead to it, but God doesn't make a mistake.
Mm-mm.
When He breathes that life into this conceived baby within the mother's womb, there is a plan for that baby.
And I think, you know, one of another neat thing about all this is mm-hmm. that later on that John the Baptist got to baptize Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, you talk about
that
would have to be something just, could you just imagine?
Yeah, well, John, we may touch on that, but John
definitely
didn't feel worthy to do that.
Yeah.
Knowing who, and he was a person, only person at that time who knew who Jesus was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, so now we're in verse 46, and Mary reveals to Elizabeth the true feelings from what she has been asked by the Lord to do. Now, Elizabeth said, "Blessed are you," and Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Again, Mary, by her own words in this verse, didn't consider herself to be sinless, as some mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. say that she is today. Mary knew that she needed a Savior too.
Yes.
"For He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaid. For behold, from before henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." She knew that. She knew that all generations, because of what she was allowed to conceive within her, would call her blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud with the imaginations of their hearts. Now, Mary is speaking things from the Holy Ghost here, too. Mm-hmm. She's not speaking this from her own intellect. The Holy Ghost is speaking through her. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them a low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with Elizabeth about 3 months. So she was 6 months pregnant and about 3 months. So what do you think Mary stayed for? The birth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Surely she was there to see the birth of John the Baptist, mm-hmm. to witness for herself this sign that the angel Gabriel gave her, the birth of a son. Now, if it would have been a daughter, that would have negated the sign. Mm-hmm. But it was not a daughter. It was a son. Just as the angel told her, it would be 3 months before mm-hmm. his birth. And then, after the birth of John, we are told Mary returned to her house, her own house. We don't know how quickly that happened, but surely she was there to see the birth. Mm-hmm. Now, in Luke 1:58 tells us, and Elizabeth's neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord has showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day, what happens on the eighth day, Brian, to a male child? Do you remember? By law, they are to be circumcised.
Circumcised, yeah. That's what I was thinking, but yeah. I just want to make sure that.
Yeah. That's right. And it was customary at that time, a circumcision, to give the child a name if the name had not already been given. And they, her family, her friends, her neighbors, called him, this infant, Zacharias, after his father's name. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs of Zacharias' father, who had been basking in dumbness for 9 months, to see what Zacharias would name him. He asked for a writing tablet, or he motioned for a writing tablet, and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they all marveled at this. Mm-hmm. Now, verse 64 tells us, and his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue was loosed, and he spake. He wasn't asking questions this time, Brian. He was praising God. Mm-hmm. He was praising God. Now, if you remember what the angel Gabriel told Zacharias, he said, you're going to be struck dumb until all these things that I told you will come to pass and be accomplished. And the last thing that needed to be done was to name the child John.
Yeah.
And that's what fulfilled this prophecy that the angel Gabriel gave to Zacharias. And Zacharias was, as the angel said, able to speak again. Mm-hmm. And then Luke 1:67 tells us that Zacharias became filled with the Holy Ghost also and prophesied. And this is what he's saying now, filled with the Holy Ghost. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Now, this hasn't happened yet, but it's going to. Mm-hmm. And hath raised up the horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Zacharias is speaking about the child that Mary is carrying in this verse, because she is of the house and the lineage of David, not Zacharias and Elizabeth. Zacharias and Elizabeth were of the Levite tribe. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. That's Zacharias. That's the Holy Ghost speaking that sentence right there, telling us, for certain, God's prophets have been around on this earth since the world began. They didn't evolve from animals.
Yeah.
Zacharias goes on to say that we should be saved from our enemies. Mary's child shall save us from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Yeah. It sounds like a finality. This child, and he's speaking of Mary's child, is going to bring all the fulfillments of all the Old Testament prophecies about him. And then Zacharias looked down on his son. We can imagine him doing this, and said in the following verse, 76, and I love the picture of him holding his child, and thou child, he says, shall be called the prophet of the highest. Mm. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. He knew this before it happened. Mm-hmm. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring. I love the word day spring. It means a sun rising. It means the springing up of light by the coming of the long-awaited Messiah.
Amen.
And in the morning when I drive up here, I get to see the day spring of light coming up Amen. Over the horizon. The Messiah that Zacharias knew his son John was born to announce, he was going to announce the light of the world to the world, making his debut in the world. That's when John would become famous in Israel, and the people would see him as a prophet. Now, remember what John 1:8 tells us about John the Baptist. It says this, John the Baptist was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. And Zacharias, mm-hmm. being filled with the Holy Ghost, knew all of this before it occurred, and there was no more doubting in Zacharias' mind anymore about the certainty of what God said he was going to do. He wasn't going to ask for any more proof. Mm-hmm. He knew. Luke 1:78 continues, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. That's what Jesus is doing for the whole world today. There are many millions and billions of people who are sitting in the darkness and in the shadow of death. And Jesus is available there to guide your feet into the way of peace. And that's connecting you to God the Father, a connection that was lost way back in Genesis due to the sin of Adam and Eve. Jesus has come to reconnect you, to give you that new birth, just so you can experience everlasting life with Him,
yes.
God the Father, and with the Holy Spirit.
Yes, yes.
I'll leave it off with this before we go to break. When Mary returned to Nazareth after spending 3 months with her cousin Elizabeth and seeing the circumcision of John, the man she was supposed to marry soon realized this virgin was carrying a child. And we'll pick it up there after Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny Erickson Tada, Sharing Hope.
Hi, this is Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tada, Sharing Hope. And here's a hymn I know you can sing with Johnny.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
You know, when I sing about God's faithfulness, it always makes me think of the heavens, the constellations. As sure as it is now September, you can look up into the night sky and see the constellations shifting, escorting out summer and ushering in autumn. Say goodbye to the Big Dipper, Ursa Major, and Cassiopeia. Well, Cassiopeia will still be around in autumn, just like Polaris will, because it's the North Star, it never changes. And also there'll be other changes with Andromeda, Aries, Taurus, each of them faithfully marking the change of seasons. Truly, the heavens declare the glory of God. Hardly a night goes by lately when I don't look up into the blanket of stars and whisper, oh, Jesus, thank you for such a beautiful witness as these amazing stars. I mean, think of it. Our solar system as immense as it is just one teeny small speck in the Milky Way galaxy. How small? Well, let's say the Milky Way were the size of North America, and using that scale, our sun and its planets would fit into a little coffee cup somewhere in the little corner of Washington State. And what is more amazing is that the Milky Way, our home galaxy, is just, you know, an average galaxy among billions and billions of others far bigger. The number of stars is incomprehensible. Astronomers are now convinced that there are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on the beaches of the world. Think of that. All the sand on the beaches from Florida to New York, both coasts of Africa, the beaches of Western Australia, that's a lot of sand. And there are more stars in the universe than all those grains of sand. And remember, this does not mean that Earth is a grain of sand. No, our sun, the star would be the grain of sand. And that makes Earth infinitesimally teeny, tiny, small. And on this eensy-weensy speck of Earth, out of the billions of people, the Lord of the universe came to Earth to save you. Glory be to Lord on high. Truly, like it says in Psalm 19, the heavens declare his glory as nothing else. No other Bible verse alludes to other parts of God's creation. The seas do not declare his glory, and neither do the mountains or the waves, only the heavens. Little wonder the psalmist said, "When I look up into the night skies and I see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have made, I cannot understand how you can bother with mere puny man to pay any attention to him." Praise God, you are no bother to him. Jesus, the Lord of the heavens, has paid attention to you. He came to earth for you. So please, before the constellations disappear into a new season, go outside tonight, look at the stars, and thank him for your salvation.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Romans 13, 11, and 12, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." I heard about an old farmer that had a grandfather clock that went haywire and chimed 14 times one midnight. He jumped up and said, "Wake up, Nelly, it's later than it's ever been before." I want to tell you, it's later than it's ever been before. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Call on him right now. Today's the day, and it's getting late.
I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It's guided me through some of my most difficult seasons. I know God works through your station, and it's just such a blessing.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Of course, this is the Front Porch on a Wednesday morning.
Amen. Speak life. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. We just came to the last verse in Luke 1, and we were told when Mary returned to her home in Nazareth, after spending 3 months with her cousin Elizabeth there, the man she was supposed to marry soon realized, we don't know how soon, but evidently she began to show that this virgin was carrying a child. Mm-hmm. We went through all what we just covered on the front porch this morning to get us to Matthew 1:18. This is after the genealogies of Jesus, and it picks up with the story from that point on. And it begins with, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost." Of course, Joseph didn't know that at this time, but he soon will. "Then Joseph, her husband, not knowing this miraculous birth that occurred, or conception occurred within his espoused wife, being a just man, and he was not willing to make her a public example, and he thought, well, I'm going to put her away privately, you know, very subtly. He could have made a spectacle of Mary's pregnancy. He could have, even by law, demanded she be put to death, but he was considering just divorcing her, you know, keep it low key. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not. Here we go again. Fear not to take thee, Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now he knows. Mm-hmm. Whether he's going to believe it or not, he was told. And the angel goes on to say, or in this vision, and in dream, I mean, she shall bring forth a son, and thou, you, Joseph, have a story, a part to play in the story. You shall call his name Jesus. It was Joseph's duty as a husband to name the child. And it says, and thou shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. About 800 years before all this was happening, the prophet Isaiah addressed King Ahaz of the southern kingdom of Judah and revealed to him some specific information about the birth of the coming Messiah. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means what? It means God's with us. Yes. God is with us. When Jesus was born, God was with us. He became flesh, and he dwelt among us. Yeah. And Matthew 1:22 tells us this, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, and we just seen who that prophet was, the prophet Isaiah. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not until she brought forth her firstborn son. And who called his name Jesus? The verse says, he called his name Jesus. Joseph was the one who named him. Now, over 700 years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet Micah gave the rulers of the northern kingdom of Israel a little more information about the birth of the Messiah. And there's a lot of this little more information from these prophets concerning the Messiah. But in Micah 5:2 tells us, But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been forward from old, from everlasting. So Bethlehem is where this Messiah will be born. But Mary and Joseph both lived in Nazareth. Mm-hmm. Mary was nearing the birth date of Jesus. There were those who assumed Jesus was born in Nazareth from those who thought they knew him. All throughout his ministry, Jesus would be called a Nazarene, Jesus from Nazareth, Jesus from Nazareth. But God used the unaware rulers of the world at that time to fulfill prophecy. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at the king of, or the president of China meeting with the ruler of Russia today, of North Korea, of Venezuela. God is using rulers, Brian, still to fulfill his plan for what is about to happen in this world. God is orchestrating it all. Now, we can look at those things and be fearful, but we have to understand it's God who has the final say.
That's right.
And all of this is going to be done according to his plan. So let's go back to Luke 2:1. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, the main ruler of the world at that time, and it says that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went out to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee. He had to go out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which we know is Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David. We saw that in the genealogy. And the reason for this was to be taxed, with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Mm-hmm. And so it was that while they were there in Bethlehem, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. this is something we hear every year during Christmas because it is a huge thing for Christians to celebrate.
Yes.
Now, 6 months after John the Baptist was born, Mary delivered Jesus in Bethlehem, not Nazareth, because the unaware rulers of the world at that time forced her and Joseph to be there to pay their taxes. And no one in all the world knew anything about the birth of Jesus without being told about it, except Mary and Joseph. Mm-hmm. And we see there were some wise men. We're given that bit of information, or magi, or astrologers, as they were called, from the East, who happened to be studying the night sky, the night of Jesus' birth, as they would every night. Mm-hmm. That's what they would do, study the skies, from their country somewhere in the East. Hundreds of miles away from Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem, a new light they saw appeared in the sky due west of these wise men, and the wise men were puzzled. Mm-hmm. What could be the cause of this new light in the heavens? A light that was just appeared that very night, and a light that they'd never seen before. The fact that these wise men concluded what they did leads us to believe that they could possibly be students of students of students who were once taught by the prophet Daniel while he was in captivity in the same eastern area, which at that time would have been called Babylon. Daniel, as you know, served five different rulers while he was in Babylon. Each ruler saw Daniel possess great wisdom. Daniel was made early on by Nebuchadnezzar the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon, according to Daniel 2:48. Two of the rulers declared that there was no other God but Daniel's God. Mm-hmm. That's how convinced they were of the source of Daniel's wisdom and spirit. The third ruler of Babylon, Belshazzar, saw mysterious writing on the wall that troubled him greatly. And this was his decree in Daniel 5:7. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and shall have a gold chain about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Now, do you remember who interpreted the writing? Well, the king's mom said, "You need to bring in Daniel." And that very night, after Daniel read the writing on the wall, Darius the Mede conquered the Babylonians. Darius saw the wisdom of Daniel even during his reign and eventually made Daniel chiefest of the three presidents he appointed to rule his land. So Daniel was seen as the wisest of all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel's God was reverenced by those who were great kings of Babylon. And Daniel obviously had access to the ancient writings of the known world, including the ancient writings of Israel. And we're going to see next Wednesday, because time is limited, what he is going to reveal to us in this story. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We just mentioned that you are orchestrating the events of the world today. We can have peace. We can be comforted by a fact of how in control you are. The eyes of the Lord are all over us, and you don't miss a thing. And nothing surprises you because you have written the beginning and you've written the end of time. And I pray, Lord, that you will fill us with the knowledge of the Holy Ghost also as we approach these last days. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to The Front Porch, and of course, join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.